Blog Talk Radio.
Well, let's get the conversation started. Welcome to the Passion Talk Radio Show. This is where we have real conversations about love, life, and the things that matter to you, our audience. I gotta tell you, I'm a little flustered. As Murphy's Law goes, 15 minutes before the show started, prep, everything went fine. Went to dial in 5 minutes again, right before the show started. Everything went wrong. So I'm a little frustrated, but that's okay. That's how things are in life, but you just keep moving. So this week is our show about spicing up your love life. Last week was Valentine's weekend, and I hope a lot of you had a great, great, great weekend, the ones that celebrate Valentine's Day. But should it be just one day? I mean, obviously there are 364 days out of the year where you can really spice up your love life and show the special person in your life that you love them and ways that you can do that. So this week I thought it would be a really good show to have on someone who is really dedicated to raising the awareness about intimacy and love and sex and good, healthy relationships all year round, not just on one day out of the year. So I'm going to bring on our guest for today, and that is the author of Romance, Not Finance, 10 Simple Ways to Spice Up Your Love Life. She's the author of an intimacy angel, and a personal development coach. Her name is Coco Jackson. She's my guest, and I'm going to bring her on right now. Coco, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good evening, Dakeem. Coco here, yeah. Romance Angel.
Good evening, Coco. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you. I want to just get right into it because we have so much to go over, but I want to first give the opportunity for people to know a little bit about you. I mean, we've known each other for years, and since our very first meeting, you've always been a very vibrant, larger-than-life personality, and I'm sure you're going to, the radio audience is going to hear that. So before I do that, I will be remiss in noting and letting people know that if they want to call into the show, the number to call in is 347-996-3160. Okay, Coco, I'm sorry. Let's get back to you. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you're all about. Hello, Coco?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just waiting for you to complete the end of your sentence. That's all.
Okay. That's all. I'm done. It's all you. Okay. You got the floor now. You got the floor, Ms. Jackson.
All right. Well, my name is Coco. I call myself the romance angel because I've always romanced the idea of love, passion, sex, and just life. I'm a certified sex counselor, and I've written two books. One is called The Art of Lovemaking 101 that teaches individuals how to communicate with the five senses. And then my most recent book, Romance, Not Finance, 10 Simple Ways to Spice Up Your Love Life. And I'm also a public speaker, and I do seminars on The Art of Lovemaking 101, demonstrations on how to please yourself or how to please a partner. So the things that we will talk about is not just for couples only. It's not for people of heterosexual nature. It's for all walks of life, all cultures, and I'm honored to be here.
Again, thank you very much for being on the show. Tell me, how did you get involved in this? You know, in this kind of in this role, how did you become the romance angel?
Well, I literally became one instantly. I mean, I've been for years talking to young people when I was young about sex, about love, about dating, about boys, about girls. And I just found it very easy to do. My mother discovered my first writings, erotic poetry, when I was 13. And she thought I was all kinds of wild women, you know, all the names you put to young girls nowadays, which wasn't true. I didn't even have sex yet, so I couldn't possibly be a whore and a slut and all those things, she thought. I just had an ability to tap into the erotica at a very early age. And I'm an explorer of life. So instead of me asking questions or trying to read a book, I decide to probe and experience things for myself firsthand so I'm able to help others.
Okay, good. And how did you come to be certified as a sex therapist or sex counselor?
A sex counselor.
Sex counselor.
I earned my diploma at Stratton University out of Washington. And I just decided that, you know, in today's culture, everybody wants you to have a diploma, a certificate, or a degree. So I sought, I didn't even know those things exist, and over the years I've been educating myself on different topics when it comes to, as I said earlier, love, relationships, and sex.
Good, okay. Now, let's get into the topic a little bit today. What do you see as the biggest barrier to people having closer relationships with one another?
Well, the biggest barrier that I see, and I wrote about it in both of my books, is communication. I mean, aside from all the things that people think I would talk about, or when I counsel couples or even individuals, one thing it seems to be in common, that the lack of communication is there. People are not expressing their feelings, they're not expressing their desires, and they're just not exploring enough, if you ask me. You know, when you go out on a date with someone, people ask them all kinds of questions, but nobody really asks the question that's the most intimate. And it seems in our culture, America, the topic of intimacy and sex doesn't come up, and people find out after the fact that the person is just not suitable. So that's one of the biggest barriers, I have to say, Dakeem, is the lack of communication.
Now, you would think that in a world today where this communication is so abundant between Facebook, Twitter, you know, Instagram, all the ways that people connect with one another, social networking, all of the instant communications through phone and text, you would think that communication would be something that's second nature, but to your point, people still struggle with it. How would you suggest people begin to really get to the deeper level of communication that you would like to see them at?
Well, the first thing I suggest that people get to know themselves. You know, in one of my book, I have a chapter on self-love and self-discovery. I mean, excuse me, chapter one, actually. I start off with, to thine own self be true. Something that Shakespeare said. Most of us don't even know who we are, so how do we expect other people to know who we are? And in this world of anonymity, Facebook, Twitter, and all of those other modalities, you're really not who you are. You're letting everybody see who they want you to see. But it's kind of hard when you're face-to-face with someone, say, like, even on a blind date, to really, you can pretend you're someone else, But eventually, if the person can read body language, communication, listen to what you have to say, they'll find out that you're not exactly who you say you are. So avenues like Facebook and Twitter, and those are fun avenues. They're not, I mean, there are some things on there that's very serious, depends on who you're following. You know, you always have to be careful of who you are following, because some people can take you to heaven and some people can take you to hell. Just depends on who you're listening to.
Some people could take you to heaven and some people could take you to hell. That is a great, great, great observation. So I would take from that answer that you're not big on online dating.
Oh, no. When you say that, it made me laugh because I tried it, and I just think it's, I'm sure, you know, there's certain websites that say, oh, no, we have this much percentage of people that got married and this many people connected. I'm sure in life that may be so. But, again, online dating is still what people want you to know. You don't really know anyone until you either live with them or be around them long enough, and even then you don't know them. People tend to show what they want to show of themselves, out of fear of you not liking them, out of fear of you not accepting them. People will basically tell you what you want to hear. So we have to be really careful about that.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. So going back to my earlier question about deeper communication, you say that people need to know themselves better. They need to know themselves. What are some of the ways that people can get to know themselves?
Well, first and foremost, people don't like to spend enough time with themselves. They're always hanging out with girlfriends or hanging out with the boys or finding a husband or a wife to entertain them or fill that empty void. But one of the hardest things for a lot of people is just to sit still. Meditation is a great way. Meditation is a great way for someone to tap inside of themselves and listen. See, God gave us two ears and one mouth. And most people use the mouth more than they use the ears. You've really got to listen, and you have to be not in denial about who you are, what you like, and not be afraid to share that. Now, a lot of people are always afraid of what other people are going to think of them, so they won't tell you their deepest, darkest secrets. And, you know, it's amazing to me how this new movie that came out, The 50 Shades of Grey, is enticing people, but this S&M world is not to be played with, and it's been around for a very long time, and it really should be left to the pros. I mean, you can sample things and you can give in to your temptations, but buyers beware.
Okay, all right. We're going to come back to that because I find that interesting that you say should be left to the pros. But how does one become a pro if they don't experiment, right?
Right, like in everything else, you must learn. Some people, you start off as a novice and you end up as a pro. But then there are some worlds you don't want to enter in, and some things are not for everyone.
Right, true,
yeah.
Very true. Very true, okay. So people need to really learn how to know themselves and be okay with themselves. How do they then let other people know who they are? How do they overcome the fear of letting people know who they are?
The first thing a person should understand is you're not going to please everyone. Everybody's not for me, and I'm not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tell all of my clients when I'm talking to them, because they're always wondering why this person doesn't like me, you know, why did he pick my girlfriend over me, or why did he go out with my boy? Because we all have varieties in our lives that are not equal to you. See, I think that's the one hard thing people cannot accept. It's not a matter of rejection. It's just that they're not into you. And once you understand that and you know who you are, then you can go out and explore the world and find people of like mind or someone that can help you if you're trying to explore a certain area of your life. But sex is really more of a spiritual thing, more than a pleasure seeker. But in America, it's really more about instant gratification. Because in this country, we were used to fast food and fast money and fast cars. But in other indigenous countries, sex is very sacred and a closer way to get to the divine or God.
Okay. That's interesting. Do you think that Americans are kind of deprived of good sex?
Oh, definitely. They are starving. this country, even though it's made up of foreigners and all types of folks from all over the world, I'm very surprised at our limited thoughts, our limitations that we put on ourselves. A lot of it has to do with how we're raised, has to do with our religion. A lot has to do with all these different taboos that keep us from really exploring who we are. And unfortunately, when we get involved with other people who may or may not be into what we're into, then you have a whole lot of divorce happening. You have a whole lot of suicides. You have a whole lot of low self-esteem issues. And one of the reasons, getting back to your original question, why I wrote this book, to me, it embodies two things, the old and the new. The old, basically, life has never really changed much over the years. Oh, yeah, we have technology now. But in the sexual arena, some of the same toys that were back in the 60s, 70s, 40s, 50s are still around today, maybe just prettier or faster or made with different choice of materials. But it all still comes down to basic play, basic man and woman, woman and man, woman and woman. It's still all the same. The only thing that really makes things different now is that people are starting to explore, but I don't feel without the right teacher, you're not going to get the best lesson. Did that make sense?
It does. It makes sense.
I mean, who do we go to in this day and age to talk about sex? Oh, yes, we can go on the Internet. We can read books. We can take classes. There are more sexuality classes now. There's sex expos and different things. Mm-hmm. But when you really talk about some of your fetishes or some of the things you want to keep in the closet because you're afraid no one will understand, then that's a brain now. That needs to be spoken with someone that understands the language. It's like me trying to speak German, and I don't even know how, but I'm yah, and they're looking at me like, what are you saying?
So who would you say would be a good teacher for someone who's looking to broaden their sexual arena?
Well, I think nowadays you have a lot more options than our parents. Okay, definitely. But even with these options, you have to be careful, like your shrink, who you choose, like your mentor, your business mentor, who you choose. You know, everything that you learn in life came from someone or somewhere else, and they taught it to you, and you either embraced it or rejected it. So you really need to interview your sex counselors and see, a lot of them are not, you know, on the same page. You know, there are a lot of people that are still in, you know, the dark about a lot of issues and topics that, I mean, we won't cover that today, and it's not covered in my book because that's a whole different world. But if you really need someone to talk to or confide in, going to a pawn shop on 42nd Street or in the Village is not exactly the place one should go to have intimate conversations about their pleasures.
Mm. But don't you think it's become so much easier? It has become so much easier with the internet. There's so many different places to get quality information. Do you think that it's best for people to start their search on the internet and then find someone in real life? Or do you think it's better to start with someone in real life and then perhaps use the internet and the abundance of information out there to kind of fill in the gaps?
The thing that worries me about the internet is that everything is not truthful, or everything on the internet is not what it is. I mean, they always say everything that glitters is not gold. It's the same thing on the internet. You can't believe everything on the internet. So if you're talking to a well-known or someone who's a psychotherapist or a sexual counselor or someone and they're not necessarily have their degrees, but you can feel them. You can read their material, and it makes sense. See, a lot of us don't go by our intuitive senses. You know, we have the five senses, but we have that third eye, that intuition that tells us, wait a minute, this person's just trying to sell me a product, or this person is trying to approach me. You know, you really have to have a little common sense. Unfortunately, most people just go to any website and say, oh, that sounds good, let me try it, without any real coaching. You know, and sometimes you can get hurt that way.
And not in a good way, not in a 50 Shades of Grey type of way.
Absolutely. Because once you explore your sexual pleasures and you start saying, wow, I really like this, you know, and when you have sex with someone, and I'm not talking about the spiritual side now, I'm talking about the, you know, just having sex to be having sex, you open up a whole can of worms. People that are exploring, and you hear about a lot of young people and even older people now, because they're divorced and they're going to go back to their good old wild days, or they never had a wild day. A lot of that stuff out there is all trial and error. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's good to try everything that you hear about or that you just see. Even with this movie, I mean, I love the thought, but who is really going to teach young people or older people to how to address some of the things you just uncovered? See, we all have sides to us that are not uncovered until we meet the right or the wrong person.
Gotcha. Just on a side note, did you happen to read the book and or see the movie, 50 Shades of Grey? Well, and if you did, what was your thoughts on it?
Well, I've seen enough commercials that it's pretty cute for the novice. But see, this is only my opinion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I feel that when you show these kind of movies, it may sell at the box office, it may get people hot and bothered, but the repercussions of entering that world, see, the world we're talking about, I don't know if you're going to talk about it later, but I'll just say the S&M world is not a world to take lightly, okay? And I think this movie makes it seem like this is the next best thing. Come on, everybody, get your handcuffs, get your chains, get your whips. But they make it into a love story with a young girl curious and a bad boy ready to teach. But that has repercussions to it, too.
Mm.
So I guess a lot of, you know, parents go see it, because if that's all the rage amongst young people, they really not need to know. I mean, I don't think most adults anyway can talk about it with their kids. They can really talk about sex. But when you start getting into the S&M and all the fetishes, wow, that's a whole new ballgame.
True indeed.
I hope they're ready.
Okay. All right. If you are listening and you want to be a part of the show, the phone number is 347-996-3160. And once you're online, you can just press 1 and join the conversation, because this conversation is pretty hot and steamy. So, Coco.
Yes. Yes, my dear.
Do you get an echo in the background?
No, I don't. You're fine.
Okay, that's just me. Okay. So let's talk about some ways to spice up a love life. Let's delve into that topic a little bit.
Okay, well, the first thing I always suggest to someone is to first learn their own bodies, okay? You can't teach someone what pleases you if you don't know what pleases you. I'm a big believer in masturbation for the sense of self-exploration. I know I don't get into religion. I'm not religious. I don't get into what parents tell you don't do, you know, make hair grow on your hands, all kinds of crazy things I've heard. But I just feel that the best person to know your body and what makes it happy is me.
Mm-hmm.
I really advise people to take a look at their genitalia area. First of all, you should be checking out your body anyway for health concerns, you know, just to make sure, and especially if you're having intercourse or intimacy relationships with someone, you definitely want to check your body and go get your, you know, appointments and gynecologists and prostate checked and all that, because a healthy body, a healthy mind, okay? So I want to put that, you know, out there. First, learn your body. You know, explore your body. See what makes you feel good. Now, yes, when someone else touches you in various ways, it may give you a different sensation, but you got to first start with self.
Okay. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Okay. And then after you start with self, I mean, I don't want to make this sound like everyone has to be a couple or everyone has to be in love, but love is a very big component of satisfaction. Now, I know there'll be people, oh, no, I can have a quickie, I can have a one-night stand. Yeah, sure, you can have all that. But I tend to lean towards longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Quickies have its place in a longevity-type relationship. But overall, if you really want to enjoy sex, it takes time. I'm not talking months and years. I'm just talking spending time with someone and being intimate without the sex. First, without the sex. Don't even think about getting your rocks off or... You know, I'm going over there to get some. No, really, really take time to listen. Listen to the things the person will tell you they like. Things like their favorite color or their favorite food or their favorite location or what they like to do for fun. See, a lot of times we're so, like I said earlier, we're in this quick, fast-moving world. But there are some things you need... Slow down. And I believe sex, intimacy, is the area where you need to slow down.
So for there are some people out there that may be confused, or they may conflate sex with intimacy. They may see it as the same thing. For those people, could you just tell us what you would consider intimacy and how that differs from sex?
Well, intimacy in my first book, The Art of Lovemaking 101, which has nothing to do with sex, it's about intimacy. It's about intimacy with friends, children, coworkers. Intimacy is a more of a feeling than a sexual arousal. You understand? When you're intimate with someone, you're getting close to them. You're learning them. You know, you can, and if you're dating or say you're with someone that you really like, you can sit and hold hands and watch movies. You can put your arms around each other. You can go for a nice walk in under the moonlight or on the beach, all those romantic things that you see on TV. That's intimacy, your communication between you two. You're listening to each other, and you're allowing each one to express themselves. That's getting close, getting intimate. Totally different than sex. Sex for some people is not even an intimacy experience. It's just in what's that saying? In thank you, ma'am, big bam, thank you, ma'am, that kind of thing. You know, one night stands in the back room at a club. you know, with strangers in the Starbucks bathroom, or that's sex. That's lust, actually. But real sex and intimacy is something that should be taken slow, and something that should be a good feeling, not a pleasure fixer-upper, like, yeah, I just got my rocks off. You know, it really shouldn't. I mean, I'm not condoning quickies or one-night stands or anything like that, you know, but I'm just saying, as a romance angel, my goal is to get people to understand how to love, how to have a relationship. Even if that relationship is brief, it should be the best that it could be. Where you honor each other, you respect each other, and you listen to each other.
Okay. I got stuck on Starbucks bathroom for a minute there.
That's in my line of work. You hear all kinds of stuff. I'm like, really? People still go in the park, in Central Park, and have sex? I mean, you know, those are the things that we did in the 70s, because back then we were all like hippie types and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and no HIV, no chlamydia, no genital warts. You just have good old, you know, VD. But now it's a whole different world, and a lot of these young people are very disillusioned, because they think they're not having sex if it's oral, they're not having sex if it's anal, you know, they don't think about all the disease and different traumatic experiences that people go through. Not everybody should have sex. A lot of people need to be more celibate in the sense of still learning themselves, you know.
That's a very, very good point.
Yeah. Sex does not only entails the genital area. It can also entail the mental, the emotional, the financial, and the spiritual. So a lot of people got to work on those areas before they're intimate with anybody.
So what else are some of the other ways that we can spice up our love lives?
Well, once you decide who you are, what you are, and you have an idea, and you go out there and you meet someone, you have to learn how to, variety is the spice of life, as they say. I always tell people, you know, life is a costume party. You know, it just depends on what costume you're wearing, and it's the same thing with sex and intimacy and relationships and dating and all those good things we mentioned. You have to be diverse. You can't do the same thing over and over again and expect to get different results. You know, I know we say that a lot in business, but it pertains to personal life also. You can't expect people to keep excited about you or them when you're doing the same things in the same place, wearing the same outfit, or not giving it any thought. So, to most people who, they really can't think, like, what do you mean? What can we do different? I mean, in my book, I had to tell some of the things I feel that you could start off with, which doesn't cost money, and it's, a lot of people don't even think about playing games. Like, I sell sexual games, cards, books, erotic stories. Hey, you ever thought about reading an erotic story to someone at night instead of turning on the TV? I see we're so programmed to do the same things. Like, what are you going to do on Friday night? Well, why don't you do it on Monday night? You know, why are we always going to the movies when you can have a little foreplay before you go home? You know, by listening to some nice jazz or classical or even rock, whatever your pleasures are, learn to do it outside of the boudoir so that you're hot and heated and ready when you get into the boudoir. You know, we also have to learn how to role play. You know, that's another chapter in my book. I think people say role playing for Halloween and New Year's Eve. Why? Why? We should role play more. We should tap into the imagination more. you know, we should really, especially if you're with someone that you're going to be with. I'm not talking the one night stands now. I'm talking about people who are in relationships. And one of the reasons why people go out and cheat is because there's no newness. You know, there's no variety. It's, you know, oh, I got the kids, and I got to cook dinner, and I got to work. Yeah, but you still have time. I mean, me and my husband, we used to change up a lot. I would take him to lunch, you know, make a nice picnic lunch, and he worked near Central Park, and took him to lunch and feed him lunch and tease him so that when he got home, you know, he was ready.
It was on and popping.
Right, a lot of people don't use the foreplay. They think foreplay is just a sexual thing, but foreplay can be verbally. You can talk dirty to each other on the phone during your break, on your lunchtime. You can tease somebody by, you know, leaving things like rose petals, a row of rose petals directly to the bed or to the bathroom where you have this bubble bath and candles. I mean, it's simple, but it takes effort. Because nowadays, most of us are just so busy to going to school, going to work, the kids and everything, that we really don't set time for the person that we're married to or in a relationship with. And
okay.
You have to plan that. You just, you know, plan it, but be spontaneous. Like, know in your heart that I really love this person, I really want to do, but I'm not tired, I'm not sleepy, you know, get an energy boost, get some Red Bull, make it special.
All right, let me give you two scenarios, and I want to get your advice on how someone could spice up their love life. So the first scenario, we have a gentleman, a guy who may be in a relationship, married, kids, whatever, and he wants to spice things up, but he's not sure how to approach his lady love.
See, that's where communication comes in at. It always comes back to communication.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sit down and talk to her, make a nice dinner, a nice lunch, go to a nice restaurant for brunch, and ask questions, not like an interview, like, do you like this position? No, I'm talking about conversation where you're finding out more about her. Like I said earlier, what's her favorite color? All right, so she tells you yellow. So what do? When she gets home, she has yellow roses waiting for her, or daisies if you can't afford the roses. You know what I'm saying? You have yellow bed sheets because her favorite color. See, people are turned on by things that excite them. There's a seminar, a course that I do called The Five Love Languages, and I got it from Dr. Smalley. People have to find out what the other person likes, not what you like. So when it comes to love, there's basically five, and I'm trying to remember them offhand, but some people like gifts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If the girl you're going with, Dakeem, says that, oh, I love gifts, then in your mind, you're saying, well, you know, I like to spend time with her. And you're going to call her up three times a day, and you're going to come over. And she's in her mind, she's like, this guy don't like me. He hasn't even brought me a gift. Today's Valentine's Day, or today's my birthday. Where's my gift? But he's thinking, well, I'm here. That's your gift. But in order for people to really enjoy the relationship and get the most out of it is when they are pleased. So when you're dating someone and when you're getting to know someone, or say you just got married, you still got to explore, what do they like? Do they like affirmation? Some people love the old, honey, you look so sexy. I love that tie on you. Oh, you just got a new haircut. You know, notice things about people. I know a lot of people don't notice when someone gets a new suit, or somebody cuts the hair, or, you know, whatever it is. You have to really focus on paying attention. A lot of people don't pay attention. It's like when someone comes to my home, I like that they look around and look at all my collectibles and memorabilia and artwork. It tells me that they're interested in me. But once, if someone will come over and just sit on the couch and then they're going to throw your arms around you, then I already know you're not interested in me. You're interested in what you're going to get from me. You understand?
Wow, so, that's very powerful.
Yeah, well, a lot of relationships are not working out right because most people do not ask, what turns you on? You know, you might find somebody that likes to clean, and you're thinking, well, I just went to Tiffany and bought her a nice, you know, bracelet. And she said, oh, thank you, put it there. Can you help me wash the dishes? Can you go get the kids and give them a bath? Because to her or him, that's love. That shows me you love me by the things that you do to help me based on what I like. So people need to really get into the five love languages and see where they fit in. I know I love the gift of quality time. Quality time is you and me, baby. No kids, no in-laws, no friends, no boys, just me and you. You know, then you have someone, like I said, love gifts or like words of affirmation. You know, you have to find out what that person likes.
Well, if you know somebody, if you know a woman that loves to clean, please, by all means, send her my way.
Remember what they always say, a woman is your mate, not your maid. You want a happy relationship, treat her accordingly.
Absolutely. But hey, if she loves to clean, listen, I'll give her all the cleaning she wants. another scenario. I have one, and it flew out of my head because I got so engrossed in the first scenario where you expertly handled that. But let's just say we have a young lady or a woman who's been married for years and years and years and really wants to introduce something completely different. That she may have, you know, really wanted to do for a long time. She spoke to her husband about it and to that communication factor, and it really didn't really take with her husband. At that point, how do you proceed?
Well, I always find that you really need to be truthful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take that chance because if somebody's not into what you're into, there's no need in you continuing. You know, we all have things that, like, there are prerequisites, like, you must do this, I like that, and, you know. It's important to you, then you need to find someone who can share in those pleasures. Because the worst thing is to try to change someone and make them like what you like. You know, sometimes we can explore with someone and find out, wow, I didn't know I like, you know, this type of activity. That's cool. That's because you have a willing partner who wanted to explore anyway, without knowing subconsciously they did. But, you know, they, oh, I would never do that. You hear that all the time. But there's a way to handle it. There's a way to honor. I always remember this word, honor.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to honor a person's wishes. Okay? If you like throwing up on people and I don't like it, it's not going to work if you just decide to just throw up on me and say, well, didn't you enjoy that? You know what I'm saying? A lot of folks, they have these needs. And getting back to the basics, communicate. Don't wait till you're in bed to tell somebody that this is what I enjoy doing. It can turn a person off. You don't know their past experiences. A lot of people have had traumatic past when it comes to sexual things happening to them. So you may think rough sex is fun, but that person may have been raped.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to really be sensitive to a person's past. Don't be ashamed or don't be, you know, apprehensive to ask them, well, how was your childhood? You know, how was your relationship with your mother and dad? There's some things people will come out and tell you, and there's some things you won't know until you're trying to explore that avenue and you find out the person was raped or the person you know, had pedophile issues or, you know what I'm saying? You have to learn to listen and don't react so quickly. A lot of people are so anxious to get to what they call the good part, but it can really be a disaster if you're not careful.
Okay, but I want to go back to the scenario because you said something that was kind of caught me off guard a little bit. So in a scenario that I propose, a woman's been married for years and years, and as you know, people discover and they grow and they discover new things about their personality they may not know or been open to when they were younger for various reasons.
Right.
So in a situation where someone's in her 40s, 50s, or even 60s, discovering that something really does turn them on, attempt to have that conversation and bring their husband into their awakening, and it's not something that the husband wants. Are you advocating then that they at that point the marriage is over?
If it's something that that woman needs to get satisfied, she will cheat on her husband. She will cheat. See, that's why I don't really understand why people don't communicate before they marry.
But what if they communicate, but she wasn't open to it when she was younger, and it may be because of societal pressures. If you think about it, people that were married in the 70s, there were certain things that weren't really open to our society, wasn't open to certain things that they are now.
Right.
So someone, you know, through the course of life, we all grow and explore and learn new things about ourselves. So we have that awakening, and then we try to share it, and that person that we're with is not into it. What do we do?
That's a tough one, because in your relationship, is that important? That need have to be met. I would like to think people talk before the marriage, but we all know they don't. I would like to think that people on a date and they like the person, or they really think, yeah, I want another date, I want to get to know this person, that's somewhere. And we talk about material things of houses that we want and cars we want to drive. We talk about, I want to have 2 kids or 10 kids or a puppy or a cat, but we don't talk about our desires. See, a lot of us already know what we like. We just don't want to share it, because we don't want you to leave us, and we're afraid of rejection. Humans are afraid of rejection. They're afraid you won't like me. But in that regard, when you do tell them and they still don't like you or like it, then what? I would rather know in the beginning. I can't tell you everything I like, because, like I said, we find out as we get older, as we lose we were brought up, our parents taught us this, and we decided we want to break free, and we want to break free from religion, and all those things that tell us, no, that's still not going to satisfy that urge I may have, okay? One or two things are going to happen, especially if you're in a couple. That person is either going to go outside the marriage to explore it, or they're going to take a chance with the person that they're with, knowing that the relationship will alter, it will change. Now, it sometimes, I hate to say it, but sometimes that person is not for you, you know, because we didn't take time out to explore things before we got married, because we were told we either supposed to be a virgin, or we're not supposed to tell people I slept with 20 guys, or because he's going to think I'm a whore or something. We all have this in the back of our head, what would he say? What would she say if she knew I like to wear diapers? If she knew I was an S? You know, there's all kinds of fetishes. And according to what I've read, like 95% of people have fetishes. They just don't share them. You know, some people seek groups that are like them. They seek people. There are clubs now for just about everything. One thing about New York City, I know there's a radio show and this is all over the world, but in this city, you can find all your pleasures in this city. after dark. There's a lot of underground things. But when you're in a relationship and you're married, that's really a tough one. Because once you discover that this is who I am, don't you think you should be truthful with that person, even if you're going to lose them? Because you can't press what you desire. You can't. People say you can change. You can't change. You can, but that doesn't mean you don't desire it anymore. You just don't do it anymore. And it could become a problem, in my eyes, from what I've seen. I've had couples that tell me for 10 years they were married, and the husband will say, well, what did my wife buy? And I said, well, your wife bought this and this. And he says, I mean, she bought this DVD on how to have oral sex. I do a very good job. And I said, well, let's bring your wife in. And when the wife came in, she said, no, honey, you don't. So for 10 years, she let this man think that he was doing a great job. He just happened to see a DVD that she was buying for him on how to have cunnilingus, which is, you know, eating pussy. And I said, in my mind, I didn't say it to them, but I'm saying, wow, 10 years you were faking, pretending, acting like you enjoyed it, and you weren't. But then it comes to a lot of people don't know where to go for help. If there's an area of sexual satisfaction and you're not pleasing her, who do you go to? Your boys? Wow.
No.
Who do you go to? Your coworkers? I don't think so. Who do most people go to learn how to do it better? Or to at least try to understand not everything is black and white. You know, not everything is either cunnilingus, fellatio, you know, anal, fornication. There are all those gray matters, all those fetishes. So what do you do when you discover that your spouse has a fetish? Do you talk to them about it? Do you join them in that? There's always a risk when you share with someone who you are. And that's where it comes down to you being strong, you not allowing other people's opinion of you invalidate you. This is who I am. This is what I like. You don't like it. It's okay. We could be friends, but we can't be lovers. Most people do not do that. I hear people, couples, oh, well, my wife can't do that. She's the mother of my children. So I'd rather go to the titty bar and give all my money to a chick that doesn't care for me, but she'll give me what I need. Problems. So I really don't know what the solution is. I mean, I would like for everyone to communicate more. I would like for everyone to explore themselves more. I would like for people to be honest. But we know that's not going to happen. It's just not.
True. And it's very sad because exactly what you said, that there, people will go years without sharing what they really find exciting and
right.
with the person that they should be the first person that they tell.
Yeah. I mean, look at these couples, polyamorous couples, men that are married to 4, 5, 8 different women, and as long as it's honoring, as long as it's respecting, you know, aside from what other people might think about what you're doing, if those 10 people are happy with that type of, you know, relationship, then that's cool. It's not cool when a man or a woman has 2 or 3 families on different sides of town, outside of the town, and are cheating.
Right.
I don't think that's very honoring at all, cheating.
Okay. I just looked at the clock. We're coming up on a 5-minute mark. The time is really goes five. Go really, really, really fast. Give us one more last tip on how to spice up your love life, because I want to make sure to leave time for people to know where they can go to get your book and to connect with you. So give me one more good tip on how to spice up your life, your love life.
A good tip, but I'll also say to explore, which is another chapter in my book, on different cultures and how they approach sex. You'll find it more honoring, more connecting, and more of a pleasure, because the pleasure doesn't come necessarily from the genitalia. But for the Americans and folks who are still like, wow, I don't know what else to do, go in your kitchen, explore different, see different aphrodisiac herbs, different foods also arouses the senses. You know, you have things like ginger tea you can make with someone. Ginger stimulates the blood. Stimulating the blood, what comes to mind? A hard-on. You know, things like that, ginger, spicy things, spice up the food, strawberries, berries, things you can put in each other's mouth and feed it, dip it in, you know, the normal things, whipped cream, or have a glass of wine filled with fruit and just, you know, pour it over each other and the other one licks it off. I mean, this, your imagination is limitless to all the things you can do with someone you trust, someone you know is clean, healthy, and in their right mind. You understand? Don't try some of these things that you're seeing on these movies and these shows and these pornos, because you can get tied up and that might be the last thing you ever do in your life. You have to know who you're getting in bed with, and you have to know what you like, and you have to have safe words. So that I will say to you, our safe word is red. And when I say it, that means it hurts. Stop. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't even explore safe words or letting the person know, you know, I'm not a rubber band. Don't bend me like that. But my final words to everyone on this line, if they're listening, they're probably like, oh, my God, the coke, I didn't know. Just have fun. Respect, honor, and fun. Everything I do in life is about having fun also. Making money, but having fun. Having pleasurable sex, but having fun. When it hurts, if it's not your thing, if you're not enjoying it, stop. Stop.
Okay.
Okay.
And if all else fails, there's always a Starbucks bathroom.
Yes. No, don't do it. Don't do it. That's another topic. Sex with strangers. No. Anyway, it was
Coco the Romance Angel, how can people buy your books? How can they connect with you? Please tell us.
There's a couple of ways they can buy my books. The first and foremost is on Amazon and it's on Kindle. Both books are also available. I do book signings. They can sign up on my email list by emailing me at HORCOACH. And HOR is an acronym for House of Romance, my company, but HORCOACH@gmail.com. Let me know what what you liked, what you didn't like, and if you need to have a free consultation, you can call me at 718-655-6778. That is a line where just me and you and God will be listening. Everything I talk to you about is confidential. I'm not a gossiper. You won't hear it on TMZ. I'm very private, and what you tell me is between your ears and God's ears. My website is www.houseofromanceny.com, which is about to be revamped, Dakeem. I'm really helping people to bring their sexy back, working on self-esteem, self-confidence. I do fashion shows. I have a lingerie company. I really do boudoir photography. I like people to feel sexy and be sexy and to love themselves. Then somebody else will love you just as much.
Excellent, excellent. Coco, thank you very much for being a part of the show and sharing your expertise. If anyone's listening, either live or on the internet or the replays, you see what I mean when I say Coco is larger than life and she is vibrant in all facets of life. Reach out to her, connect with her, and I'll see you back next week for another real conversation. Thank you, and have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.